of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. Well, we are recording on Tuesday, April 30th, and we just got done watching a Sounders win. And I swear to God, everyone, I on my show notes put Back to the Future before this match started, because that's what I wanted the title of the show to be. And the damn commentator said it during the show. I said it first, and it's going to be the title of the show. Okay? Okay. I am recording with, as always, your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. And who else are we with, Cameron?
We are with the goalie who on three different occasions has given up a hat trick to you, the one and only Nicholas Biela.
You know, this is amazing because he's my teammate.
Yeah.
So
it's public, though. That could certainly happen.
Well, I mean, one of those hat tricks, now that he's your teammate, was all own goals. But
that is pretty much public. That is the definition of our public. By the way, our nationally recognized public, Hercules Gomez, wore one of our public jerseys on Football America's.
Yep. Oh, really?
Super cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you find awesome. That and put in the Discord, Nicholas?
Yeah, I'll see if I can figure that out. But yeah, we sent him one of our Avatar jerseys this year, and he was rocking it on
the Airbenders
on the show. Yeah, the Airbenders.
Okay.
Goalbenders.
Okay.
Right now in Fortnite, there's actually an Avatar game going on. Shout out to all the Fortnite players out there.
Yeah, you lost me. Cool. Well, Nick, I'm glad you're here, Coach.
Thank you.
We had a great week. My knee is fine. I'll be fine.
Oh, good.
I'll be fine. A little scary there for a moment after I felt like I triple deked the guy and then triple deked the ground. but I'm good. We should get to drinking, I think, first, and then talk about the chaos of this last few days. Cameron, are you drinking Liquid Death, LaCroix, or a diet soda?
I am drinking a vegan root beer float.
Of course. I wouldn't have guessed that, actually, but that makes total sense. Go ahead, Nick. Do it.
And now I have foam all over my microphone pop filter. So fantastic.
The pop filter worked, by the way. It didn't sound that great.
True.
All that for nothing, damn it.
Yeah, oh well. That's what
give me a good sound effect.
Was that some Ronnie West?
Mm-hmm. It is, of course it's a Ronnie for Nicholas. And all that for nothing is a Rainier pretty much.
I'm actually double fisting right now. I'm working on an Alaskan Amber, but it was in a bottle and I already had it open, so you know. Anything for the audio, the ASMR, is that what it is?
Yeah,
ASMR people.
Well, let me show you up here. I got myself, so my wife stopped at, was it Total Wine and More? And mm-hmm. More than wine, including beer. And she picked up two different beers. One of them I know will be good. And that is the Hop Freaks Exploration Series Bright India Pale Ale, 7.1%. It looks like it's just a clean IPA. I know it's going to be good.
There was an article that came out this week, speaking of IPAs, that people that like bitter beers like IPAs are mentally unstable.
Yeah, I read that. And also coffee as well, which doesn't bode well for me.
I don't drink either of those things. And
we're like 90% of the planet, but all right. And my other one, the one I'm going to open right now, this is from Atlanta, Georgia, Sweetwater Brewing Company. This is the Gummies Tropical IIPA. I do not have high hopes.
I've had some of their stuff. Some of their stuff is pretty good.
All right.
What's the second I for, though? Imperial?
You might be right.
It doesn't actually. Right. Yeah, but I've never seen it like acronymed like that.
Yeah, I haven't either. Interesting. But, well,
whatever. Here we go. People don't care about that. Is that a little better?
No.
Here's the thing, is it always comes through when it's actually on the show. We just don't get to hear it.
Yeah, no.
No cattle.
Yeah, no. It's 9.5%, so I'll take it.
It's definitely an Imperial.
It tastes like you put a Jolly Rancher in your butt and then take that Jolly Rancher out and put it into like a interurban.
Okay, I have questions.
Yeah, sounds like a good spin.
I'm just curious, though. Not judging, I'm just very curious as to how you know that.
Yeah, what a Jolly Rancher tastes like. I mean, I guess you do have...
Because I put a Jolly Rancher in my butt, took it out, and put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
Is that what you want me to say?
Though, and they do stuff like that all the time.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I was trying to be funny. But yeah, no, I... It's 9.5, like, so it passes. If it was a 5%, I would never drink this again, but it's going to do the trick.
I'm guessing it's Sour Patch Kids rather than Jolly Rancher that they're going for with the gummy in the title there.
Yeah, it's not very sour. But anyway, it's
too bad.
I'll give it a 5 and a 5 out of 10. So we will get to what we just watched, the Back to the Future match, which had rules from two different eras of MLS. It had a red card probably that should have been played that didn't. And then moments later, we get a debut goal that counts. We had a Panenka. We had a 45-yarder. We had a win, most importantly, in Philadelphia. So, but we did also have a game this weekend.
But you know what? Before we had that, we have some scuttlebutt.
I'm just doing a little recap of the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Okay, okay. Let the hosts do the most, okay?
Usually we do the scuttlebutt first. So.
Well, I'm just getting there. And okay. I just put a Jolly Rancher out of my ass into my mouth. Let me go. And then we play DC. So we're going to get to those two matches, Cameron. But first, we're going to do a little bit of scuttlebutt. So, Cameron, what do you have for us?
Big news. USA has dropped out of hosting the 2027 Women's World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
So they could focus on 2031, and a bit of a bummer, but I think it's going to work out pretty well lining up with giving more time to and more precedence to the upcoming Men's World Cup, and then we can go ahead and do the Women's World Cup. They are having issues with visas, of course, with the World Cup, where right now the wait to get a visa if you are a citizen of Mexico is longer than the amount of days left until the World Cup happens. So our government is royally screwing things up right now, and there's going to have to be some major changes so that we can actually have people come watch the World Cup in the United States.
They're hosting matches in Mexico, though.
For sure, but...
So at least they have an opportunity, but yeah, that is pretty fucked up.
Yeah. And all the teams from, I mean, I'm sure it's long and from lots of countries. I don't think Russia's going to be allowed.
Yeah, is Russia going to come?
I don't think so. I feel like Russia has been, they were kicked out already, and I think they couldn't do the Euros. They let Israel in for some reason, though, so I don't know why their war is different than Russia's, but you'd think on the international stage it would be similar.
Unfortunately, I think we know why, but...
So yeah, it was big soccer news. We'll see what happens. We just got to get excited for Seattle in 2026.
Which I am uber stoked for. I actually have a call with a client. I work in hotel sales regarding VIP guests traveling, and their dates are only for those specific dates. And it's confidential. Well, and so I was confidential to me. I'm not just saying I don't know. I can't tell you what it is. Well, it was 16 dates with, you know, a before and after like two night stay, VIP confidential client in 2026. I'm like, okay, this is clearly for the World Cup. Who are you? So yeah, I'm excited.
Is the USA here in Seattle.
Yeah. Anything else? What do we got? Hit me. Hit us.
I think, you know, the weird thing about recording, well, we usually record midweek, but having a game midweek is, I feel like there's not as much news that's come out. You know, it's been a weird week. Seattle sports seem to be on an uptick, especially now that the Sounders won today. So maybe we'll see some good things coming.
Yeah, I had a rough night last night. And then I had a good night. So I watched 8 innings of Mariners. And then I turned on all my Lakers.
Oh, you idiot.
Well, no, I paused. I DVR everything, right? So okay. I'm like, I'll watch the 9th inning when I'm feeding my baby at 2 a.m. But I want to watch the Lakers go to bed.
Well, you had a good 2 a.m. then, at least.
I did. I had a wonderful 2 a.m. But as soon as the buzzer went off, I was like, oh, there go my Lakers. And it was a foregone conclusion. No one's ever come back from 3-0, but they had been leading 74% of the series. So it was like, well, maybe. Anyway.
Yeah. No. That happens. That's, what was it, Portland versus Golden State in the Western Conference Finals back in, what, like 2018, maybe? I think Portland led 80% of the series and got swept 4-0.
Nicholas, do you have anything you want to bring to the scuttlebutt table?
No.
Okay.
All right. What about you want to?
I want to talk about new Who's Time Out. Oh yeah, we're going to Pearl Jam.
We are,
and they have a new album, which I have declared is their best album since Vitalogy.
See, I like Yield.
I don't think I like individual songs. I don't like any of their albums after Vitalogy as a whole.
I'm going to say it's the best album in the 2000s.
Lightning Bolt was good.
But this album, top to bottom, is really, really good. I did wait in line at 1 a.m. for record store day, so I picked up a number of things, including that.
Like you got the vinyl?
Albums. Oh, yeah. I got the
vinyl you do.
Right here.
Yeah. Lovely.
That's all those, you know, 650 albums behind me right there.
Do you have them on Discogs?
I do.
Of course
I do. That's how I know.
I don't know what that is. And I'm like, of course he does.
Yeah. Why aren't we friends on Discogs? This is crazy.
What is that?
The problem was that Discogs is kind of a cataloging system because it happened way too many times where I bought the same album more than once. Yep. And then I realized right around the early days of the pandemic, it was like, okay, I am just going through every single one, scanning in the barcode, figuring out what my average value is of my collection. But more importantly, I don't care about that because I never sell my stuff because I love my collection. But I just want to make sure I know what I have. So when I'm at a record store, I can, you know, target my shopping more appropriately.
Certainly. And I don't think I would sell my collection either. But it is fun to pull it up and see that it has a maximum value of $34,710, especially since most of them are in mint condition.
Okay, Cameron whipped it out. Nick, how much is yours?
Do you want to take the over or the under?
I'm going to go over. Knowing you, I'm going to go over.
$49,697.65.
It's because a lot of us have off the wall records.
I have off the wall. My mom has had for like 40 years. That might be, you know, a couple bucks.
So you want to be starting something?
Lovely. So New Who.
Speaking of off the wall.
Damn it. Okay.
They just released a live concert that Quincy Jones did a few years back, quite a ways back, but I think it just finally came out. It was a concert that he did, and they took Michael Jackson's name off of it because it was right around when that documentary came out, Finding Neverland. But he did Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad in their entirety, where he had them performed live by like different singers, full band, horn sections, you know,
but without Mike.
Orchestra people. And it's just called Quincy Jones Presents Off the Wall, Bad, and Thriller. And I only watched a little bit of it the other day, but it was fantastic. I highly recommend checking it out.
Have you seen the Quincy Jones documentary, Quincy?
I have not yet, but it's Netflix, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. It might be HBO Max. But it was directed by his daughter, Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
And really...
I love her.
Really enjoyable. Really enjoyable.
So I'm looking forward to, and I haven't done it yet because I haven't had... it's probably going to be years before I have the place to myself.
It is Netflix, by the way. I don't think we want to hear about your masturbation fantasies.
That's true. That is getting kind of weird. But with my new TV, putting on my surround sound headphones a concert and watching.
We don't
a
need
concert.
To hear your ASMR.
I want to watch a concert, like in surround sound, because I don't have a surround sound system in my house. So like putting headphones on, and because they can Bluetooth on my TV because it's smart and I've caught up to the rest of the planet. But that to watch a 4K like concert or something like that.
Or
so.
You could go with your
you
own
could
eyes.
Come with us to more live concerts.
Yeah.
There's that, yes. But I also want to use my TV too whenever I want. But yeah, which we're gonna do on the 28th. We're going to Pearl Jam and I am fucking stoked. Fucking stoked.
I'm actually driving to Abbotsford, so just across the border on Friday for a show and back.
I think my next show might be Sunny Day Real Estate, maybe.
Oh,
nice.
Unless that could be the month after Pearl Jam. I'd have to double check here, but not a lot of shows going right now because they're usually around Superhawks games, which I have to work, of course.
Can we talk Speaking about Nuha's Time Out now?
Yeah, after I say this Friday, Superhawks are playing in Tacoma. At Tacoma Community College, it is Gary Payton night, and Mr. Payton will be there. If you are a Sonics fan, come out to Tacoma Community College, 6 p.m. Tickets are free. Just show up.
Awesome. It is a good time. Very cool. It is a good time. So, knew who?
Who knew?
Was not nice.
No, who knew? Who knew is not around anymore. I think he left the MLS.
That's right.
Can I get a sentence out?
Okay.
Nuhu was unavailable for the DC match because he was in timeout. We found out that he skipped a team meal and team meeting. Is that correct?
He was late.
He didn't make it to the start of it. Okay.
Yeah. He was caught in traffic in an Uber.
How do we feel about that? Fine.
Consequences.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk about discipline in general, yeah. I mean, this obviously isn't the first incident. You're not going to suspend someone from a game for one small incident. But more importantly, I think generally we're a better team when Baker's out there instead of him. Even if that wasn't the result in that game, I think we saw the first, 14 minutes or whatever of that game where we were really good and we actually scored a goal.
I think taking it to another step, taking aside whether Baker is an improvement or not, I think at this stage of the season with the results we've been getting, you've got to not let the team walk all over you. And, you know, if we had been, you know, if our record was kind of, you know, one of the top three teams in the Western Conference at this point, maybe it gets overlooked. Maybe it doesn't. But I do think you can't overlook it given... You know, you got to take these things seriously, given the fact that the results aren't coming.
Yeah, I would hope that regardless of our performance in the league table, that Schmetzer would react the same way, or the coaching staff. I'm sure it just wasn't just Schmetzer, right? But he's the leader. He's a manager. That even if we were top three, this would be the same response. I'm just with all of the talk that we've had about kind of his petulant attitude that we see on the pitch. Is this the first time I can't recall off the field issues as much?
Other than missing flights coming back from international duty, which unclear whether or not it was, his fault or something on control.
Yeah, you never know. But it just kind of lends to that. You just put it in another a pile of, well, maybe that's just the kind of player he is. And is that who we want around? I mean, he's incredibly experienced at this point with World Cup experience, shutting down Salah in the African Cup.
AFCON.
That seems like that was the height of his career, though. Yeah. It doesn't seem like, exactly.
However, he's still probably our best one-on-one defender, as unorthodox as he is.
Or getting beat like he has several times. Oh, he got beat really bad today. Luckily, there was someone behind him to pick up the slack. But maybe he knew that, so he went in harder than he would have usually.
Yeah, and you're going to get beat.
He's also still only 26 years old. Which is crazy. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, he was, what, 18, 19 when we first brought him?
Yeah, I think S2, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think this – but the point is this his last season with us. Cameron, what do you think?
I mean, he got signed to a 3-year contract in March 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your answer right there.
So I don't think so, because I don't think there's been rumors every season that, you know, he wants to move to Europe, but no one's bought him. So the fact that he hasn't moved leads me to believe that no one's making serious offers for him. They don't see the value. He should have left prior to that World Cup. If he really when he was doing so well in AFCON before that next World Cup, but I think he wanted to ensure his spot on the World Cup roster, and so he stayed here so he could start, which got him on the roster. Mm-hmm. But if he had left then, he could have left when he was at the height of his game and made a name for himself somewhere else. But probably would have been coming off the bench.
But since then, we've also signed him to an extension, and it was my understanding, reading between the lines, that he recognized that there was not going to be the market that he had hoped for. So the next best thing he could do is sign an extension and ensure some financial success with Seattle. That was the way that I was reading into it.
He currently has 2 years and $1.1 million left on his contract. So he's under a TAM player, $550 a year base. He makes $10,577 per week, not including bonuses. For me, that's a little high for a player that, while is our starter, I feel like we could improve at that position. So if we could move on from his contract, I'd be in favor of it, and I would hope this is his last year. At the same time, if he were to stay, he has a much higher ceiling than, say, Cody Baker. Mm-hmm. Cody Baker, you just know what you're getting. You're going to get a consistent,
hardworking
B+. It's going to be a B+ every time. Whereas Nuhu, you're going to get an A- most of the time, but then you're going to get a F every once in a while.
F moments, yeah.
I think I like Cody Baker. However, I don't think he's better than either Jovan Jones or Brad Smith were before him, before Nuhu. So with that said, if people are talking about, oh, we should get rid of Nuhu, we should move on from Nuhu, I don't want to talk about that, and I'm not even going to entertain that conversation until we have someone better already on this roster.
I guess I disagree with that, because I think Baker brings a different play to the field, and his play is more conducive to the players we have on the field. He is more he makes us a more goal dangerous team. Nuhu runs it up and then cuts in and gives it away every time. He's been an absolute black. Not today. He had a few good passes from the middle out to the side. They looked great. So hopefully this is the beginning of a change there. But as a whole, he's an offensive black hole for the first part of the season.
But my point is, I would rather have him, even if Cody Baker is supplanting him as the starter. I want Nuhu on this roster until we have another left back of quality. I don't want Nuhu gone and we don't have a clear succession plan, because Cody Baker is not enough for me to feel comfortable jettisoning that contract.
And I'm just concerned at that $550,000 level. I feel like we could get higher quality play at a different position.
Understood, but at the same time, we're not paying for Cody Baker, so,
and we don't have a lot of depth there. We don't have a lot of depth either. I think we need both of them, I think, is the answer. I think if you're going to have to bench Nuhu, or he's not available for international duty, or there's scheduling congestion that we're going to start seeing here, like we just talked about last episode, we're going to have, like, 2 months almost 6 weeks, I think, of just
eight games in 6 weeks.
Yeah. So we're going to need that steady Eddie, but we're also going to need new who. So I think there is pros to both. I agree with you, Cameron, that he's more conducive, I feel like, to the type of buildup that we like to play. However, I think especially today in this match, our countering looked fantastic, at least in the first half, right? The game was completely different in the second half, but we'll get to it.
Yeah.
And that is where I think he kind of hurt us. But there's going to be pros and cons to both. I'm hopeful that the performance we saw out of him today, which is better than I think that we've seen from him this season, had something to do with the repercussions of maybe make sure you get in an Uber maybe an hour before your team meeting instead of 30 minutes or whatever. I don't know exactly the time, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's like, sleep a little earlier.
Get to the airport on time, like, and just so you're not stressed out while you're there. That's like, I hate being at an airport. I hate I don't like being rushed and having that anxiety for no fucking reason when I had full control of it. And now he knows he's not playing if he hangs out too long somewhere. So
I'm going to be consistent here, though. If I think that we could get more value out of that $550,000 for new who, I think we can get significantly more value out of that $1.56 million for Jordan Morris.
That's a conversation. I am not impressed by Jordan Morris this season or in that game, but
yeah,
we're going to get to that game. We're going to get to that game. If you want to talk about Jordan Morris as a whole, let's talk about that now. If you want to talk about Jordan Morris in that match, we can talk about
it. Let's talk about it in the context of the match, because to me, that's a microcosm of what the season's been for him. So
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, so red cards have been a thing. If that US Open Cup was red card wedding, I think this season's been a red card marriage. we've seen it like every fucking game, and would you guys agree in the DC match, we can talk about this match a little bit right now, I guess, that red card was the turning point for the outcome of that match? We looked great. We had a phenomenal act. We saw Leo Chu score a goal on a great cut, on a great assist by, I believe, Jordan Morris, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was like, oh my goodness, here we go. Let's go,
Jordan
everybody.
Morris is so good. We really got to pay that guy.
It was because I think it was off his right foot. But we looked great. And then there was the Stefan Fry red card. Now, Nick, was that you play keeper for one of two matches per Pub League week? Was that a deserved red card at the moment?
No.
No hindsight?
No.
Okay, why?
No, it wasn't.
Why don't you think that?
So, to count as a red card and avoid double jeopardy, it has to be absolutely, without a doubt, no attempt to play the ball.
Yeah, I just watched it. There was zero attempt to play the ball. He just tackled the dude. I don't understand why people are saying he tried to play the ball.
Look at, much like a ball to hand situation, you got to watch that thing in real time. Look at where he is in those moments. I think it's way too harsh of a call there. Clearly the, you know, pro refs agree, given that they've rescinded the red.
I think the league rescinded it, right? Not pro.
Or sorry, you're right. The league rescinded it, but yeah. But whoever is on that committee, I imagine it's probably made up of some executive and a representative from pro. I don't know how that
My
works
understanding
exactly.
is that it needs to be unanimous to overturn anything as well.
Correct. Okay.
So the fact that they overturned it and took away his fine means that they would 100% agree with you. Now, I have not watched the question about whether he deserves a red for dog. So that was it Kalen Carr who was doing it this week for MLS. But I'm interested to see what he says, because I didn't watch it. But what I saw was him fake like he was trying to play the ball and just grab the guy's legs because the ball was already past him. And it seemed like an absolutely deserved red card to me.
you got to remember
a player who was flat. I've never played goalie. That's correct. Okay. From a player who was flabbergasted that, you know, he said it was bullshit that, you know, the locker room was in shambles. And I don't, if they weren't in shambles, I don't understand what's been wrong with this team. Number one, number two, the only way you can explain someone's reaction being that slow, who's a professional athlete, is if they've lost a step. And to be fair, at the beginning of the season, when he came back from injury, like San Jose, he definitely looked like he lost a step. But I don't think he's been that way since. And tonight I changed my mind on who I wanted starting as a goalkeeper, though. I think I still want Fry now. But to me, I just don't see – the ball's past him and he tackles the guy. I don't see how that's not a red.
Here's my opinion.
I think, again, sorry, you got to watch it in full speed. So, I think it's super slow.
Here's my opinion. I agree with both of you. I think that he realized that ball was going to go out. That he doesn't have eyes behind his head, but that ball's speed was going to go out. That was going to be a goal kick. But he firmed his arm. I don't think he grabbed at all. His arm was firm enough to trip. He didn't grab.
Yeah.
But his arm was out and in a position that would be to play the ball. And I think that's what's getting him out of this.
Okay.
I think in that moment he knew what he was doing. He didn't want. He was out of position if he caught up to the ball and tapped it in across goal. So that's what he's thinking in that millisecond. That's my opinion. So I think when I watched the game live and the replays, I was like, "That's a red. That sucks." But it looks like it might not be a red. Like it looks, he might get out of this. If they go to VAR, he might get out of this. But his arm was firm, and if he misses the ball, You'd think naturally you wouldn't just keep your arm that firm and stiff. You would kind of you brace yourself, or you just fall on your shoulder as you're supposed to do, or something. But I agree with both of you. I think he got out of it because of the nature of the play and where the ball was going. And as a keeper, you're supposed to put your arm out because you're going to play the ball. Completely missed. He wasn't close because that ball was overtouched. I think the touch was too heavy.
Yeah, and that used to be a factor, right? When they call fouls and penalties and stuff on goalkeepers, it used to be if that ball was going out of play, they were not going to call it. But now they don't even look at that anymore when it comes to Dogso stuff at that point.
Well,
so I don't know. I'll be interested to see what he has to say about it. I didn't see that he didn't speak with the press after the game because they had actual players who played in the game. But that means he will be back for LA Galaxy this weekend, which is huge since we do lose Alex for another game because his very egregious red card, which in person looked different until I saw the replay, like live in the moment, it looked like he stepped short, like I said last week, and fell over the back of him. Nah, he straight up studs up, went through him.
Do you see what I meant now where I was just like, it kind of gave me Mullen vibes where I know Mullen's was a little bit more like, I'm going to break your leg.
I still disagree because Mullen's feet were down and went up through Stevie's leg.
It gave
leg.
Me vibes. It wasn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it was the same, but.
But
it
I'm surprised
it
he only got the one game or the
reckless.
One extra game. I thought he could have got a couple more, but in the end, it's probably worth it. I mean, it's probably the right decision by the committee to only give him one, but I was worried he might get multiple.
So. I want to say one more thing on this red card with Stefan Fry and Nick. You can have the next thought because I know you're. It looks like your gears are turning, but it really pisses me off. And this is totally an MLS thing, right? That we live in the MLS world and we are MLS girls. The Madonna quote, but we are like, how can this fucking happen? To have a red card happen, go to VAR, and then it affects the match, and then MLS rescinds it, and there's just too many rules, there's too many gadgets, there's too many things to this fucking league, and it's frustrating to me, I guess. I'd rather live with Stefan Fry's red card and move on than now to live in this past of two matches before where we could have had him in this match, even though this was a match that happened in the past, that we're now he's available for the match in the future. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, but it was such a momentous or such a huge moment.
We could have had him for this match if we'd wanted to, though. We could have put him on one of the open spots on the bench, regardless.
I know, regardless. I was just trying to add to the gadgets of this league and the rules, but it's just, I mean, the point of VAR is to correct things, especially when we have shitty refereeing, which we all, I think, agree that pro is just a terrible union of refs. And for that to be called and then rescinded, it's just incredibly frustrating. And I don't really think I have a point other than it's just frustrating. However you think that play should have gone, for it to be so juggled like this within the course of a few days, and have such an impact at a time in our season where we needed this match today against Philadelphia to feel a little bit better. But I think we were on course to have a great match in DC without that. So it's just, I'm just really frustrated when my prediction was really just a request for something to be proud of last weekend in DC. And we didn't get that. It was just something I'm not proud of this league and or a performance after the fact of that red card that apparently shouldn't happen in the eyes of the league.
I'm going to give you two things in response to that. One, this is not MLS specific. The rules on a postponed match are pretty much universally pretty similar. So that's not MLS specific. That would have happened no matter which league it is. And, you know, I know they're the rescinding and the card that shouldn't have been a card. I imagine other leagues have a place in play. So I don't think it's really anything specific to MLS, but it is frustrating. You nailed it on the head. I agree 100%. But I'm going to try and be the optimist here. I'm going to try and kind of go with this. I'm going to stay with I'm seeing enough things that I feel like we've got reasons to feel like this start has sucked, but it's not true to who we are as a team. But I also am not going to say that we're a top four Western Conference team at this time. I'm going to need to see what happens with a healthy De La Vega, and I'm going to need to see what we do come the summer transfer window to determine whether we're there. We're definitely a playoff team. I don't know if we're necessarily a top three, top four team right now.
And I said it last week. I'll reiterate it in a much more succinct fashion, while also saying first, if we're going to say that wasn't a red card, yes, that frustration absolutely bothers me. In baseball, you can protest a game if you think the refs got a call wrong. Now, I don't know. I wonder if you still can in the post-review era. But I see a lot of people blaming VAR. And my problem is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The problem is not VAR. The problem is how it's been implemented. The problem is they do the same dumb thing as the NFL, where they make it so difficult. We shouldn't have, it needs to be some level of importance in order to overturn it. Like, they had to be like 23.7% wrong and over and above to overturn it. Just freaking watch it and make the right call.
Yeah.
Then they don't need to sit there for 5 minutes viewing it. They can watch it a couple times and go, okay. I also think they should take it away from the ref.
I would say the NHL has the right motto with that, with having it go to a war room and having them make the decision.
Well, and MLB, we talked about this last week. MLB, we like how MLB does it. And I totally agree with that, because especially in soccer, where the center ref is literally the foci of angst for the entire stadium and the field players pretty much. So
today felt like bizarro world. Like I felt like in the first half when we're up 3-0, it felt like everything that was going against us this season was suddenly going against Philly today.
So let's talk. So it's, let's open up another beer after this break and talk about that.
Before we do that one thing, MLS refs, you said they were bad. They're not Angel Hernandez bad.
That's true.
They're close.
That's true.
They're close.
He calls all strikes balls and ball strikes. Yes. All right, so let's do the Sounders fight song and crack open another beer. And that was week two. All right. Bizarro World. Let's enter it. Sounders win 3-2 in Philadelphia in a match that began 50 blah, blah, blah days ago. And again, I was the first
52,
to know.
52, I think it was. 52.
Was it 52? Okay.
I think that's what they said.
I was close.
You said 50-something. 50-50,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But back to the future match, right? So here we are with dueling rules. The pitch is dry. And
still look like shit.
Yeah.
Still look like absolute
garbage.
Yeah,
now that I got 4K and 75 inches, I'm going to keep mentioning that every episode for probably a decade.
I mention it all the time.
Every chance.
I got 75 inches.
You know it.
That field is terrible. Anyway, we don't have grass, so we can't talk about it. We won.
We
get a fucking
injuries
match
on grass. FIFA's own studies show that, yet no one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about the fact
that it smells nice.
Yeah, everyone's complaining. Now, there may be something to say on the long-term effects, but we're not talking about that.
By the way, this other beer I talked about, this bright
gummy,
bright India Pale Ale, 7.1%, Clear Horizons. Yes, please. Very nice. Ooh. Very nice.
How are your sphincters for the last 33 minutes of that game?
Puckered. You know who talked about their sphincter is Muffin Top Model in our Discord.
Oh, did he really?
Yes. Bright side about tonight's match, besides 3 points, my butthole was puckered so tight I made a diamond just in time for Mother's Day.
I would say once we got to about the 81 minute mark, I was like, okay, we got this.
Yeah, I agree with that. Once we got into that final. Well, even then, you never know when that. I felt at that point it was this is the normal barrage last 10 minutes versus that 10 minutes has actually been this entire second half. So once we got to this is the game standard 10 minute barrage, I was like, okay, we should be able to ride this out. But they tied it up with an offside goal. So I was like, for fuck's sake.
And that's something I want to talk about. So the first half, there's the tale of two games, right? First half,
start with
we score three goals. We have
tale of three games, really, if we're talking about 90 days ago.
Yeah.
This is true.
But in reverse order, we had a penalty from Raul Diaz on a clear penalty that I don't know why they were whining so much about it.
I do know. Wait. I know the answer to this. Okay. I know exactly the answer to this because I actually checked it.
I'm surprised there's an
talking
answer.
There is. If you look at the game at 32 minutes and 55 seconds, I am not entirely sure that Leo Chu was not offsides. When they played him in leading up to going into the box.
Yeah.
Oh, so before.
But then when they said
it was close, and then they never showed the replay, really.
They showed the replay.
They showed a replay, but that wasn't the moment.
From behind, so you couldn't tell.
So you're talking about the run-up before that, even, the sequence
there was
in the box.
A little bit. They missed the replay. When they were showing the replay, they missed it by about 2 seconds. Because I had to double-check them. Like, and in the moment, I thought it was offside.
I had a thought too, but then when they showed the replay, I was like, was that what I saw? Okay, it wasn't offside, and I kept moving because I was happy.
VAR looked at it, though. That's the thing. Obviously they can get stuff wrong, but they would have at least called them over, I feel like, if it was close enough.
If the broadcast angle was all they had, it was close enough that it got me worried. So that's what Philly was almost certainly nervous about because they probably saw the same thing I saw where they wanted it to be looked at.
Yeah.
So to your point of it being a bizarro world, and actually I want, because I totally agree with you, and I want you, can you give us a recap of the first half, starting with we're in DC at the 5 minutes.
That's
minute
what I was
four,
working on from a you went, reverse order.
You went reverse though.
Yeah.
We're in DC. We're in DC. That is bizarro world since the game was in Philly.
Jackson did that several times on the pregame show. but there was a reason why I wanted to do that, because that made it 3-0. Before that, we had scored two goals, the first being an absolute wonder goal from Raul on a terrible mistake from the defender, and he just basically kicks it. It was probably
immediately.
Like 40
yards. It was like a one-time.
Yeah,
he knew exactly what he was doing.
Christian,
yeah, beautiful.
Christian tried to take a little credit for that. His post-game comments was he told him to shoot immediately.
He maybe did.
And he probably did, but I don't think he needed Christian's help. That is totally a Raul
type of goal. Wait. But if you look at the replay, because I was trying to figure it out, like, because his eyes never went up. He basically, so it could have been like they may have like a thing that they do in communication where they just go
a turnover, you know, midfield, if he's up, you get
like,
the ball.
Like knowing that he's got that ability to put those 50-yard shots on net where, yeah, I'm going to give a plausible to Christian if I haven't heard the quote yet.
Very well.
I'll give plausible.
Very well could be.
Okay. So wonder goal.
And then, of course, Obed Vargas with an awesome goal.
Oh, so happy for him.
Running along the box away from goal.
It counted.
Then, yeah. Goes back the other way, kicks it in. That was a very Dempsey-esque goal. Dempsey used to do that where he would push it a little space and then kick it in.
Because he'd also try and draw that foul right outside the box. And if not, he'd take the shot. Yeah, he was great at that.
So in between those two goals and that third goal, though, there was a potential game-changing play where Obed Vargas looked behind him, saw there was a player there, and then purposely swung
backwards. No, that happened before his goal.
Oh, was that before his goal? You're right.
It was
right
literally
his goal.
A minute or so before his
goal.
Yeah,
you're right.
That goal
shouldn't
have happened.
On the field.
Because that should be a red card. He should have
been
fucking carded.
He clocked him. So things were going our way. I can't believe they didn't call that red card because as the announcer said, you see him look over his shoulder and see where he is, and then his arm swings backwards.
It was elbow.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. No.
I just
and
can't
I'm surprised
swing
I'm
from this position.
Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't go to VAR. I saw that and I was like, oh fuck. Here it is.
Yeah.
This is the moment. We had a great
again,
goal.
Right? We go up and we immediately blow it.
Yeah. Nick, what do you think? Do you think it's a red card? Should have been.
You know what? To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure. I didn't think much of it. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that again because now if both of you are that adamant, then I really need to.
There wasn't much
take a
in
closer
it.
Look.
There wasn't much in it at all. It's not like he swung his arm back hard, but what got me was the fact that the announcer pointed out he looked over his shoulder, saw where the guy was, and then swung his elbow backwards. It
his
looks
elbow
like
was
it's
down.
In the run,
his,
but,
yeah.
You know who is the master at that? Jozy Altidore. Yeah. Especially any time jumping up, he would come up with his like chicken wings. Oh, I hated him for that.
But
shit.
That's with the guise of I'm jumping or I'm tall, right? Mm-hmm. Obed is not tall, and this was not jumping. This was a guy running but from behind to go past him. He does look, and the elbow goes from pointed towards the ground to horizontal to the ground.
Yeah.
And hits him right in the face.
Yeah.
Thankfully, which is, which it, to head, any contact to head is.
We've seen red cards just not even doing it on purpose. Just your hand is too far behind you, and it hits someone, and they call a red card on that.
And that I feel, being 6'2 with gangles, you know, I'm a gangly guy. Like, playing basketball, I smack people in the face often. 6'2 in pickup basketball is basically 6'6, right? So I've hit people in the face on accident plenty of times. Obed's at the same height, if not shorter, than the guy he clocked. And he did look back. So I feel like that should have been a red card. I was waiting for it. And then play continued. And play continued to be a fantastic debut, or not debut, but first goal for him.
There was multiple times. There was that one. There was the offsides that Nicholas talked about, and there was one more I can't remember where I thought they would have at least gone to VAR. I thought they would at least look at him and then maybe based on the standard not call it because they said, well, it wasn't an whatever the term is, egregiously wrong error or whatever. But
I can't think of what you're thinking of.
There was one more, and it was just like it things went our way for a change for a half. It was wild, and I loved it.
I mean, I'm kind of glad the game went the way it did.
And not a blowout. Well, slash
don't
shutout.
Get me wrong, Montreal, you know, 5-0 Montreal, that was great. But, you know, keep in mind, Philadelphia's a really good team. And that second half, once they subbed on Bedoya and they subbed on their three players at the half, that was basically you know, they're
it was their best starting 11 minus the goalie.
Minus one guy, yeah.
Who's technically the best goalkeeper in the league.
But the point is, like, that would have been easy for us to fold. And that's a sign of life, a sign that I'm really looking for reason to be optimistic, because the season has not gone our way. And I like what I saw. I like that Philly scored two goals, made it a exciting game, got our team to have a gut check and to make sure that they finish this game correctly. And I think, looking back, I'm hopeful that this becomes the turning point of the season.
I can agree with that. I think we all thought Montreal was a turning point. Why wouldn't we think that? Right? 5-0 at home.
Yeah.
But I agree after the match, in hindsight, that, you know, I'm glad it went the way it did. I wasn't happy when they scored. Or actually, I didn't see them score or their next goal because I went to go.
Yeah, it was your fault. You left. You weren't watching.
Well, don't you know
that superstition?
I'm a good dad. I have to feed my little baby.
The Sounders are more important than your newborn baby.
You know what? I'll take that mentality, because my wife will divorce me and I'll be able to go to every single match. So that's you're right. All right.
And you can come live in my spare bedroom. This sounds like an awesome situation.
Cameron, this is great. I'll never see my family again. And I can go to every Sounders game and live in your basement.
This is amazing. Let's do it.
Anyway. So, but I agree with you, Nick. In hindsight, it's like, if we had a 3-0, or even if we scored even more, we'd feel good about that, right? But what would the next match be? What would, especially with this gauntlet we have coming up, would we have the resolve? Because we're not going to blow out every win. We're going to have close wins. We're going to have close losses. We're going to have close draws. I don't want to see us get demolished.
Aren't most draws by definition close?
Well, I mean, it could be like 1-0, 1-1, 2-1. You know what I mean? Like, just, it's like, punch after punch after punch.
I mean, if we tied this game, it would not have been a close draw. It would have been a very disgusting draw.
I'm also not talking about 0-0, right? Like, a good, left punch, right punch. We're just going after each other. And there's some resolve. There's some steel there.
What was it? Something stupid, 30 shots between the two teams?
There was, I don't know what on goals were, but at 80th minute, there was 14 to 15, or I don't know about 80th minute, but somewhere in the middle of the second half, they showed it, and it was 14 to 15. So we're already 30 point at that
10
point.
10 on coming. Target. Yeah, 29 total, 10 on target between the two teams.
How many do we have on target?
We had 4. They had 6.
I'm glad you guys are optimistic. It's wonderful that you can think that we need resolve from this game.
I think a hashtag
is coming.
We should
have had resolve against San Jose, and we fucking blew it. We should have had resolve against all these other teams where we blew it. To me, we were an inch away from that being a tie. That offsides was
so close.
We
were an offside from it being a tie.
And granted, Schmetzer did say in the post-game press conference, and I agree, that we could have been up 4-0 very easily. I agree. However,
Jordan scored.
I'm not even considering the 12 times Jordan should have scored. Just the one other time Raul should have scored. To me, it's a continued lack of failure. I mean, a lack of planning, a total failure on behalf of our coaching staff. I think the substitutions were suspect. Yeah, Rusnak actually was a great sub, but we should have done more subbing earlier. I want to know what JP wasn't in there.
Probably was it this weekend.
He would have been a better sub to help us than Rothrock when we're trying to play a defensive game. The fact that we're an inch away from everyone calling for Schmetzer to be fired in a legitimate fashion makes me not have solace from this match, other than the fact that we scored 3 goals. Do I hope this is a turning point? Absolutely. Do I want this to be a turning point? Yes. Do I love Brian Schmetzer? Yes, I love him, but I haven't seen nothing from him. His post-game press conference pissed me off. Jada starts out. What happened in the second half? Well, I'll leave that for you guys to decide. We had this great goal and this great goal and this great goal. Oh, go fuck yourself. Tell us what went wrong. We saw it with our own eyes. We fucking dropped the ball again.
I agree. I agree. It's annoying.
But we won. So in the end, we're all happy. I don't want
to sound thrilled
every week.
Did you listen to the first like 5 minutes of last week, Nick? I'm glad I'm not in the same room as Cameron.
And thumbs up for being out there. Look, I don't want Brian Schmetzer to go. I love Brian Schmetzer. Yeah. He loves the Sounders. He lives and breathes the Sounders. He is as Seattle as you or I, Aaron, and as Nick will one day be when he's lived here as long as we have. He's still a little too Buffalo for us. But
too much.
Hey,
you skate too good.
I can almost.
You skate too good. That's why we don't skate here.
I can almost buy cigarettes. I've lived out here long enough to almost buy cigarettes.
You have a little bit too much Buffalo, a little bit too much Bay Area, and a little too much Canadian in you. So you're too nice. So I'm pissed, right? Like, how did we almost blow that game? Why didn't we make those subs earlier once we saw that game change? Why, and I'm not saying it's Schmetzer's fault. He just is the face of it, so he gets in trouble. Why are we continually getting outcoached, especially since Pineda left?
Let me throw you some context on that. Because for today, do not lose sight of the fact that Philadelphia is a very good team, and even more importantly, a very good team at home. This is the first time in years that they've lost two straight games at home.
Yep.
So do not for tonight. I'm not going to kind of talk about some of the other failures this season.
But I would agree with you if we weren't up 3-0.
Yeah.
We're up 3-0. They bring on three of their best players, including one that's very likely going to be sold for millions of dollars to Europe.
The one that scored, MacGyver.
We don't bring on either of our best players.
Well, keep in mind, JP coming off of an injury, just played a full 90 shorthanded a couple days ago, and is expected to play next week. So that's probably
this
why we didn't play JP.
And why was
we say this week? This week.
Well, because yes, you're right.
I think JP plays if it's 2-1 and we need to get a result. I think JP plays, right?
But when it's 3-2, why isn't he playing?
Because we have the lead and he wants the team to have some resolve to actually fucking win it, I
guess. The reality is
a draw is not the worst place.
I think that might be part of it. The other part of it is the risk reward there.
We don't want another De La Vega.
Yeah, I just don't think
De La Vega, and if they injure JP, it's over.
I'm okay with
not putting JP in. As far as why have him in the 18 if you don't? Well, because it's already a weird lineup because of the roster rules for this.
And so, I will say,
we would have had two keepers on the lineup if JP's not in it. Basically,
we had more injuries again. You have Nathan coming up with an injury right before the last match. Reed Baker Whiting is still hurt. How do we have
That's
so many in a hand? No, we have more than we've ever had. This
you know what's
insane.
Funny? It's funny is Dr. Morris threw hands and said, I'm fucking done, guys. Wait,
I'm out.
Mid-season. Didn't even wait for the end of the season. He's like, I'm fucking done, guys. I've massaged too many hamstrings.
When we see this happen where the Sounders consistently can score goals multiple games in a row, weeks in a row, then I'll feel like, okay, we've done something. But we've seen this before. And there was no negatives to take away from the Montreal game, really. There was too many for me to take away from this game based on how that second half went. And granted, Philly's probably – they might not be the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're in the top three.
Yeah. The only reason their record's lower than it is right now is because they went through CONCACAF Champions League. They had to prioritize that and tried to make that work.
And they're missing Andre Blake.
Yeah.
And Salt Lake is hot right now.
But
so hot right now.
Wow. It's a litmus test. It really is. If you want to, if you're trending to be more optimistic or pessimistic, you can draw your inferences on this. I surprise, surprise, am ever the optimist.
That's because you're from Buffalo and you just
optimist. Wait. Optimist Prime.
No.
They were gonna make it back there and finally get over that mountaintop. In Seattle, we never got a chance to even climb the mountain. We were dead in the bottom of Mount Everest as an icicle before we even set foot on climbing it in any way.
Hey, I will say this. Having lived here for Seahawk, Sounders, Storm, Seawolves championships.
Wait, what year did you move here?
2008.
So you missed the first Storm championship, but really then there was a whole number of years you've lived here.
You've lived
for
the prime,
every championship
other than the Mariners.
Yeah,
the Mariners never won a championship.
No, I'm just
I've missed the first Storm and the 79 Sonics
and the 91 Huskies. But as a whole, we didn't start winning championships other than those random ones here or there until you moved here.
I think you're on to something. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait, Nick, by the way, dad question. Do you know every word to that song?
I used to.
Well, come to think of it. You can't. Can you do the rap? No.
There was a time.
Kid, honestly, I could go on and on. I could explain every natural phenomenon. Okay, I'm not gonna do it, but I know every fucking word, and I have a blast in the car with my daughter. All right, so
what are you guys talking about?
He's gonna rap Moana. I'm about to rap Bare Naked Ladies 1 week, and then I was just gonna get my one song win against Nick.
That's all. It was the thank you song.
We're just over an hour now. We know it's been a great show.
It's been one way now.
And we've been talking about this game. Let's say, all right, I got it out of my system. It was a win. Let's take the positives from this. Let's look at this. Let's forget the fact that Leo Chu was a little pedestrian in this game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no,
let's
I agree.
Forget the fact that we gave it up. And let's talk about LA Galaxy coming up next. They're still first in the West, right?
Wait. Before we do that, we really should quote our favorite song lyric today. Jingle bells. Jingle bells.
Yes.
Jingle all the way.
Yes.
Oh, what fun it is to see Seattle win away. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. Yes. We are happy.
Very happy. Three points is so needed. In fact, I think we were only 6 points out of a playoff spot.
Fucking ridiculous.
Going into this game, 12 points out of first place. We're now only 9 points out of first place.
And it's technically still April. It's the 30th as we record this. So as we played this last match and we won, we're a good string of matches away from being above the line in an expanded second year of expanded playoff.
And imagine if we could beat LA, team at the top.
That'll do wonders. That'll do wonders for us, moving up even closer. Both fan base and more importantly, that locker room, which they've said over and over again that we're fine. We know that there's talent on this team. We know that we're capable, and I believe that. I still believe that we are a great team. We're just in a bad spot. I needed a performance like this with the. It was scary in that second half, but we didn't lose. We did not lose. We didn't draw even. And then we're going through the gauntlet right now. And let's just see how the coaching staff manages this gauntlet and the team manages this gauntlet and gets performances and let's get Della Vega back and keep him healthy. Let's do it correctly. And I want to hear Nick's crazy stat.
There are 14 teams in the Western Conference.
That is crazy.
That's not the crazy stuff.
Oh, okay.
10 of the 14 teams have positive goal differentials.
That's not good.
There's only four teams that have, there's only four teams with negative goal differential, I should say. That's crazy.
I mean, I think that shows that we're better than the East this year, unlike last year where the East was significantly better than us.
At least the West offense is good this year.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I'll say about this upcoming match. LA is going to be tough, obviously, but tonight's match, very poor match for Christian Roldan. Very poor match for Jordan Morris. Imagine if those guys are on. Imagine if they're at home. Because Jordan, we've seen having trouble scoring goals, but today was worse than it's felt in a while for him. Christian, I don't even know. I think he's pushing too hard because he knows something needs to get done. He's trying things that just aren't working.
When the cylinders are all, you know, greased up and going.
We got the crowd behind us. Those guys are on.
He's great.
We'll be awesome.
He can't be the number one. He is the hardest working. And I agree with you. Is that it looked like he was putting too much on his shoulders in this match without a shit. He was probably our. There's no JP. There's no Rusnak starting. And even with Rusnak on the field, I think it's still a Christian Roldan leadership role. He takes that role, captain. Right? Yeah. But you need he needs someone like a JP where he doesn't have to feel like he needs to command everything from end line to end line little bit. And I think he also needs Jordan to be better. I mean, they have such a great connection. And also, I mean, he doesn't need Alex Roldan, but they definitely have a connection, obviously.
They're
being
still
brothers.
Good together.
There is a good 1-2 between them on that side. But I think what I might take away from this match is I agree with you, Jordan. I think he's shown that he is a streaky scorer. He is thinking too hard and making piss poor decisions. He did have a great cutback pass, though. I want to say that from a Alex Roldan beautiful lead ball that was along the sideline. I don't remember what part of the match that was. I think it was the first half.
But then he was also on the receiving end of a great cutback pass from Jordan, which he would have scored 9 times out of 10 in the past, and it was not even close.
Yeah, there was a lot of close moments here, and I think he's very close to the levy breaking. And Jordan, I think, is a player that just needs that to go in, and he's – yes.
And I apologize. Galaxy are actually in second on goal differential. Salt Lake is in first with that goal differential of 8.
Apology accepted.
You think about what you've done.
But it would
Jordan's going to get a goal. Jordan's going to get a goal, and it'll change an entirely new dynamic, I think, where he plays on the pitch. Although, what I want to say about Jordan, I am fully on board that Raul, as long as his minutes are managed, especially with his gauntlet coming up, we've only played week to week to week to week to week. This is the shortest turnaround we've had so far, and he played a good chunk of minutes. He's fine. Raul's fine. Absolutely fine. He just needs to not get hurt, and that is a huge concern considering everything else that's happened to this squad. And I'm surprised he's not fucking hurt. But his ability
when he's scoring,
But he's running.
Yeah,
he's running. It's not just when he has the ball. He is running. He's putting pressure on. He did this entire match, and that shows a lot about what he thinks of his body. And anything can happen, but. He is our number 9 starting up top. Jordan is lost it as of now, and I think he will be fine on the right wing. He's experienced there or left. Leochu did not play a great match.
Left, though, with Leochu
did
on
not
the right.
Yeah, and Leochu did not have a great match, but he did have a great moment last in DC. And there's still potential there, but I think when all our pieces are available, I think they're all going to find their role. It's up to Schmetzer to figure that fucking shit out, not us. We just need to bitch about it. And what do you have to say to it?
I think one thing I'd like to point out is that today I thought there were a lot of good moments where we had really good sustained possession, where we looked like we were moving the ball well. And then Philadelphia was collapsing into that box. So, you know, moments where we were making those really nice passes in short consideration inside the box. And then they'd make a, you know, a block here, a clearance to get into the corner. And I think I want to focus on those things. Yes, maybe we're not scoring as much, although we did score three goals today. But I am seeing a lot of sustained pressure. I'm seeing a lot of ball movement that gets me encouraged that if we can just get, you know, a few of these, you know, a few of these people, you know, finishing a few goals.
Jordan, get the ball
down.
We will be looking
We'll be looking at this team in a different regard. And
that's been it, though, because we've been dangerous the whole year. We just haven't been able to finish.
Yeah, we've had 13.
Except for against Montreal.
13 total goals, right?
Yeah, 13.
Okay, now, so five against Montreal, three in this match. So consider that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is a great point. Two games.
We had five in all our other matches combined outside of the Montreal before tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So we are unable to do anything dangerous, and we saw that with a pretty good defense and a collapsed midfield. That's how they were playing, right? And we were doing making the right decisions, the right cutback to curler to the low right from Obed, and the right opportunistic decision from Raul, just get that and go, right? We weren't fucking around. We didn't bring it all up and fuck around too long. We just made a decision.
We had a 5-on-2 and just completely blew it.
That was disgusting.
So I was like, oh no, here it's happening again. And then it didn't. We looked better. I will say, you reminded me that it doesn't just go through 7. There's 8 and 9 for that play-in game. The Sounders currently sit 3 points out of the playoffs.
Silly. Hey, so we're in if we beat LA. But yeah.
Hey, keep this in mind. We are averaging 1.3 goals a match. That is good for 17th in the league. Would be much, much worse without 3 goals today. Agreed. Totally no problem there. However, our expected goals is 5th best. Our expected goals in the league is 5th best.
Without Dela Vega.
We are
without JP.
Without De La Vega.
Yep.
JP. So there's
JP is barely
reason
played.
There's reason not to get all Chicken Little and I get frustrated when I see comments like, we're one moment away from calling for Schmetzer's head. Like, no, we're really
not. It wasn't one moment. This would have just been another loss in a series of terrible losses this season.
I'm not a big fan of hyperbole on that. I'm just not at that level. I understand.
To Cameron's point, a manager's job is to help the team react to you've shot yourself in the foot moments or unlucky moments. I have yet to see great reactions from this coaching staff on the unlucky moments, and we've shot ourselves in the foot moments. I don't like a lot of the subs. I don't like a lot of the tactics. Granted, we've had a brand new hand to play with every fucking time we come to the table, every single fucking week. So
that
I will give them that, right?
Yeah.
But like just that one response to Jada and the post-com.
But this is
like some accountability would be nice. But yes.
Well, I mean, come on. You know damn well that he's
holding
the same frustrations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, he's got to be getting frustrated about, you know, getting questions like that. And of course, hey, that's your role as a coach. You're going to get those questions. You see some of the best coaches in the world get snarky, sarcastic responses to things. So,
you know what I like to hear, though? You're right, Jada. We didn't play that well. But look what else we did. And this is, and I want a response like what you said, but I love the resolve that we had. We didn't play as well as we could have, but maybe a few weeks ago, we lose this game or we draw this game. I love what the kids did.
Yeah.
You know, something like that instead of a very kind of more defensive, like, why would you even ask that question? You know,
yeah. Well,
like just say, you know, yes, you're right. We did not perform the way to the standard that we hold the this championship caliber club to.
Yeah. I know you guys don't want to go much longer, but I need to ask something. What have you thought of Yamar over the last several matches? Because I'm worried.
That's a good question.
Has not looked as dominant as he hasn't looked like a best 11. On my eye test, but looking at the stats and that, he's still being ranked at 89% of compared to other center backs for defensive actions. You know, that's pretty telling there.
Yeah, some of his markings seem suspect.
Well, here can I have mine? Yeah, you asked both of us. This is a three. Yeah. This is a threesome here.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll get the lube.
75 inches, baby. 4K.
I'm gonna need the lube.
So the stats help what I believe to be the truth here is that I think Yamar, in and of himself, is fine. I don't think he's lost a step. I don't think he's any worse than he's ever been. I am not sure that him and Jackson Reagan are the best pairing right now. Jackson Reagan has not been playing well.
Hmm.
And when you take one wrong step as a back line and you have a partnership, you fuck your partner up.
And Yamar may be straying a little bit because he has to cover for Jackson.
I think that might be it. I cannot recall individual plays off the top of my head. I'm going just complete eye test over the course of what's now what 9-10 matches.
We've seen Jackson make quite a few mistakes that were scary.
I expect mistakes from Jackson Reagan at this point versus I don't expect mistakes from Yamar. I see him put in positions that are difficult. But he hasn't lost an aerial duel that I've seen. That I'm not consistently seeing that. I also don't see him stepping on any players, getting red cards, making huge piss poor decisions. But he has been put on islands often. You see Alex running up the sideline often because that's his role. That puts Yamar kind of on his own island by tactic. And that then, but if Jackson fucks up, then he is not only is he on an island on the right side, he's the only guy back there.
Because so, I do think about. There's been a few goals, including in this game, the goal from their all-time leading scorer who beat Seattle's own Seb Latou, who was the previous leading scorer.
I think he still had like four to go.
No.
Did he get it?
He's the leader in all competitions.
He's not league. Okay.
Yeah. But he is the leader in all competitions. But, Yamar didn't run with him. He was a step behind him when he scored that goal. Now, it could have been like last week where he was running back, like when Yamar made that mistake and Obed was running back because he had already took off upfield. So
or he could have just fucked up. I mean, yeah. he could have fucked up. That's
I don't
true.
Think it was a goal, but then there was a header on on one of their corners where Yamar didn't even challenge the guy. He was like a foot away and jumped up like he was trying to play it with his head. And so you may be right that it's because he feels like he needs to cover more ground so he can't fully commit. But something's felt off.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Month or so.
I think center backs come in pairings. You need to have a good partnership.
We keep getting red cards. That doesn't make things easier. You know, yeah.
That too.
Last month we've had three games with red cards, four red cards in three games. In the last month, that does not help. However,
red card marriage,
we have allowed, 13 goals in the games.
It's almost half as many last year.
True, but last year was also historical greatness. That was a historical best team.
Nicholas, we are the Seattle freaking Sounders. We expect historical greatness every single game, every single season.
We also invented losing in Philly, Raul. And we didn't. So
wait. You better be careful because we're also about to get some historical number of red cards in our season. So you better, be that careful history. With that. Well, now your tune changes completely. Way to go.
Right. There's good history and there's bad history. I like the good history.
Okay.
So what's your score then? Moving into LA, with all of this being said, you two are more positive than I, but I am seeing the light and I'm saying, okay, there's a lot to build on here. And if our players can be in step, we'll finally have a good lineup that has played together for a lot of the season coming up against LA. LA is, in second place on goal differential alone. It's in Seattle. What's your goal predictions?
Nick, go ahead.
I just don't want to see any happiness from Ricky Pooge.
I hate his name.
I know. I just needed to say it out loud. I'm with you.
I don't mind the spelling. I hate the phonetics.
It just sounds dirty. It just sounds unclean. Forever unclean.
He's a fucking great player, though.
He is. And honestly, their new guy, Ponstil, is really damn good. My goodness. He's good. I think this is going to be a give the home fans something good to cheer about kind of game. I'm seeing like a 2-0
about
something to talk about. I'm thinking 2-0 Seattle, and taking it a step further.
Wow.
I am going to say Jorsten Morden is going to be responsible for goals here.
I think
we're going to see both Christian and Jordan get on the sheet in some way, whether it's goal or assist. I think we're going to see both of them on there.
I agree with you other than the score line. This team is too good. They're going to score. We were just talking about our back line.
They're very good.
We were just talking about
I think our back line is fine, though. I think our back line is fine.
I think it's fine. And this is
what, although
this,
no Alex, that is the one thing. Who's going to start
exactly.
for Alex?
So
is
here,
it going to be
so
Christian?
This is what I'm talking about. No, I think we might see Baker. I think we might see Baker.
He usually plays in the left, though, correct?
They're going to have to figure it out. Been. They're going to figure it
what
out when they only have three.
Then Chu could start on the left, Jordan on the right. And
so keep in mind.
I was going to say what I think because it's my turn.
It is.
Before you give it, can I remind you of something real quick?
Sweet baby Jesus.
Can I remind you of something real quick?
Sure. Why not?
When we played at LA, we lost 1-0 on a 4th-minute goal in a game that we then went out and pretty much dominated.
Yeah.
Granted, it was the beginning of the season, but I just want to put that in your head before you tell me what your score is going to be.
Did De La Vega play that match?
I don't think so.
Didn't he sub on?
I thought that was his debut. Yeah.
Didn't he get the PK?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's not available. And we talked about after that match how we
he didn't get a PK in that match. That was LAFC. 1-0. We lost this game.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm mixing my LAs. Regardless, teams evolve. I don't want to look back a month ago and look at the Sounders and say, okay, this is the Sounders we're going to expect this weekend. So I'm not going to expect the same thing from LA Galaxy. I expect a completely different Sounders than the last time we played them. I hope we're a completely different Sounders than the last time we played them. And I do expect a better offensive performance. I absolutely do. And I agree with you. I think there might be a Jorsten Morden situation going on. I think Jordan will play on the left. I think we'll see Raul up top. And we'll have Christian on the right. I think Baker is going to be on the right. Or Jonathan Bell, because he's got some back experience, right?
Keep in mind, against DC United, we actually rolled Christian as the right back.
I know that, and I didn't like it. I mean, it was okay, but
were we not talking about how good we looked to start that game until the red card?
That's fair.
Well, which one is it?
Well, I fine. Fuck Nick. what I want is Christian up, and is there going to be? I want Christian push further up. So maybe he plays on the right back. Maybe he plays as right mid. Either way, he's going to be swinging some assists. So I hear that. JP starts. Rusnak starts. Atencio wasn't that great in this match. So that's why I feel like maybe that's why JP and Rusnak are there and not Atencio. But regardless, I feel like we're going to give up some goals. But I think we're going to score some goals. I think this will actually be a heavyweight match. I think we're going to show up, especially since we'll be at home, especially after the resolve we saw from this match. And the fact that it's a Tuesday that this match happened, not a Wednesday. I presume they flew back immediately and they're sleeping in their beds soon.
Right now.
Soon. They're probably landing in an hour or two.
Let me know.
They're probably landing in a couple hours. I would hope that they're coming back right away. I would want to as a player. I would not want to stay in a hotel that night and come back during the day, right? Get a day off.
Did Obed do enough to get the start over Atencio with JP next to him?
I think so.
He had a hell of a game today.
I think Obed and JP are the better pairing.
I've thought that before this match. I think we've talked about that. And the fact that he scored, you know what that does.
Yeah.
That's how you graduate yourself.
I think Atencio and Obed together isn't our best lineup. But the way that Obed and JP have played together, even though Atencio, I think, has been at a higher level than Obed overall, I think you got to let Obed start that game, especially coming off the goal.
Yeah.
Honestly, now that we're kind of talking about it, what I honestly believe is going to happen is I think it's going to really be dependent on what Brian thinks is the better matchup there. Because I don't really know how I admittedly don't know how Obed or Josh match up better versus Pooj.
Stop it.
And
headphones on.
I know.
Pooge. Surround sound Pooge.
Here, can I throw some numbers at y'all real quick?
Yeah, just don't throw a Pooge at me.
17% of LA Galaxy's goals have been between the 41st and 50th minute. The Sounders now. Oh, and this is pre this match. So when I talk about our goals, it won't be there. The Sounders have conceded 50% of the goals we've given up at that time.
That's what I call a sticky situation.
Pooge. 71 to 80 minutes.
Hold on. I'm sorry, but a pooge is what I call a sticky situation, right?
71 to 80th minute, they've scored 33% of our goals. We've allowed zero in that time. Now they've allowed 22% of their goals in the 81st to 90th minute. We've scored 25% of our goals prior to this match at that time. I think we're going to get a late goal and win this game 2-1.
I think we're going to need to call in mathematician and fellow Alliance Council member Scott Chupak to crunch these numbers for us to get better data analytics.
Yeah, look at it with the latest games. Tell us when the goals are going to score.
He's also the loudest goalkeeper in public.
Yeah,
Scott Chupak.
Is he louder than me?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got a different frequency than you do.
Yeah, he's got to tell his players where he is and what to do.
No, it's just, Nick and him have just different the way they speak.
Timbers.
Yeah.
I was excited to see Scott at the rain game that I went to with you the other day, Nicholas.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, the rain lost, and then they lost again this weekend. It's a sad year.
Yeah. Well.
Hey. Oh, speaking of Seattle sports, and more specifically Seattle women's sports. I looked it up just because I was curious. It turns out that it looks like the Storm have already sold out all their tickets for the Indiana game when Caitlin Clark is coming to town. The first game. So if you're interested in not paying, you know, $100 plus get in the door prices, look at their second game where there are still like $60 tickets available.
Good thinking, because that's... Will they throw me out if I
assuming she plays more than
that?
What?
Will they throw me out if I have a Caitlin Clark jersey with my Storm hat on?
I hope not.
I don't think so. Don't be a jerk and you'll be fine.
I have an Iowa Caitlin Clark jersey I've been wearing around.
As you should.
Hey, I'm thrilled. I had a lot of fun going to Storm Games last year because I really wanted to make sure I had a chance to see Sue Bird before she retired.
Team owner, Sue Bird.
Yeah. But I'm really happy to see, you know, I'm happy to see that renewed interest in Seattle Storm basketball right now in WNBA. And so just kind of knowing that you two are both bigger basketball fans than I am, figured I'd point that out to you as far as if you were interested in going to see her in her rookie
year. That's a great call out. And to our listeners as well, like, you're not going to want to miss that game. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'm a huge basketball fan. Kobe's my athlete. I modeled my basketball game over, but also he was a girl dad. He was a girl dad. Right. And I have two daughters. You have a daughter, Nick.
Yes.
So like we have that in common and I would love to go bring our daughters to a WNBA game. Well, I don't think Margo at potentially 3, 4, 5 months old is going to give a shit. But if, you know, Roma and Gracie, they love hanging out together. I think that'll be a really fun time. And I think it's really great that what Caitlin Clark has done to elevate the awareness of that this is not just a women's sport. They're fucking killing it. They had more viewers than any... I forget the exact stat, but like they were breaking NBA stats in terms of viewership.
Yep.
Did it reach 18 million and average was 16 in the Final Four, the one they got pooped out on?
I'm not. I think it was
something like
sure
that. Regardless,
that.
Yeah, regardless,
crazy high number.
Regardless, it was crazy high. But that's because they play good fucking ball. Like they play good ball. It's correct. Good basketball.
And that Caitlin Clark game is on my birthday.
The second one.
How about that?
Yep. And then
catch me inside Climate Pledge. How about that?
Angel Reese is coming to town with the Chicago.
I know
Chicago Scott.
Oh, interesting. From LSU, right?
Yeah, I've got her jersey too. She's so awesome.
She's
so.
A baller.
Then July 10th, Kelsey Plum's coming with the Las Vegas Aces. Mm-hmm. Like, what? It's gonna be a fun year, man. It's gonna be a fun year.
But seriously, like, you guys wanna go in? Wanna get some
tickets?
Yeah,
well, you know what I just spent money on.
Yes. Pearl Jam. Yes.
So I'm not gonna buy them right now.
Just a reminder, Nicholas, me because. Want. What I plan on to actually have my birthday party is the next night where you and I will be at Filipino night at the Seattle Mariners. Make sure to check in with your families and that it can happen.
Hey, did you end up getting a ticket for that?
Not yet, but I shall.
You really should.
Yep. I'm going to get a bunch since it's my birthday weekend.
By the way, taking that a step further, really, if you want more than two tickets together for that second game, you're looking at the last two rows in the stadium, which I've sat in for Sue Bird last year, right at the last game. So it's not a bad seat, but that's how few seats are available for that second game. It will sell out probably
it's awesome.
By the weekend. So if we're going to move on it, we should move on it sooner than later.
Nice. Yep.
Speaking of moving on, this boat is approaching port because daddy's got to go feed a new baby.
Mm.
Yeah. So
where can they find you on the interwebs, Nicholas?
I am on Twitter at Nikita Banana. I am on Instagram.
That's NIQUITA.
Yes. Like Chiquita Banana.
Yep.
Nikita Banana. It's a play on words because, see, my name is Nicholas, so Nikita.
Stop it. Move on.
like Saint Nicholas.
Niklaus.
Saint Banana.
And my Instagram is Cascades2C, all one word, and that is T-O, Cascades2C.
Where can they find you, Mr. Aaron?
On X. At AARONLINGLEY. And I will say that I did post our last show on Instagram, even though you said you were going to do our Instagram. You have not. So,
well, I'm glad that
our Instagram is.
I control like 12 Instagrams.
I don't care. You said you're going to do it, but I'm going to at least keep posting that and hopefully potentially just translate our followership to Instagram. It's just the whole imagery shit. And I'm like,
yeah, it's great. It's just put some pictures up.
Okay. So our Instagram is at Sounders_Scuttlebutt. So go jump on that, get some followers on there. And we're probably just going to end up being, if not both, probably predominantly that one, hopefully by the end of the year. But where can they find you, Cameron?
Oh, I'm at Legal Minded Punk, all one word, wherever you are on social medias. That is a normal social media site for normal people. It's been a great show. Thank you so much, Nick, for being here. I'm killing Nick right now.
Hey, hold it now. Watch the hood wink, and then I make you stop. Think. You think you're looking... No, I'm not.
It's not every day that you're in the presence of someone who's seen Bare Naked Ladies more than anyone who isn't in the band. And that's who Nicholas is.
What can I say? I love watching Bare Naked Ladies.
Good one. Yep. Yeah. First time that's ever been said. You should go eat a bag of dicks.
A great show. And
get a double deluxe with it too. All right.
I'm glad you've been here, Nicholas. I'm glad that we were able to do this after a game. I like doing it after a win. This is going to be a great weekend. I might have to work, unfortunately, during the game. We'll find out. But either way, Sounders are going to win. We're going all the way to the top, baby.
Goals, goals, goals. James, take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.